Hello.
What's going on?
Jake and I are still here. Devondre Campbell is not. He quit halfway through a football game.
He did. He
That's
did.
Incredible. Vontae Davis, Antonio Brown. They wish they could.
I've
never seen it.
Kyle Shanahan had never seen it, as he made clear. Tough way to go out. Especially because when that happens, sometimes it doesn't matter. This was a game the 49ers ran out of linebackers and had to put Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, who's not a good linebacker, but
He's not good healthy.
On a bad knee and just toughed it out, and Devondre Campbell went,
Can we be clear about this? It feels as if Devondre Campbell, like, there are a million other things, and we will get to them. They did not lose this game strictly because Devondre Campbell left the game. I also don't want to whitewash it and pretend like Devondre Campbell not coming in the game wasn't a factor. Because
it was.
The Rams just decided that Demetrius Flanagan Fowles was going to be their bitch for the rest of the game, and he could do nothing to stop it. It was unbelievable.
It was a factor. I mean, Kittle said it. He was like, yeah, it didn't lose us the game. And then he thought about it for a second. He's like, well, we did run out of linebackers, and it didn't help.
It was described as suck a shit by Travarius Ward. And by the way, let's all give a round of applause here to Jake, the only one who noticed and asked about it. You have a national news story because of this Hawkeye right here. So we're looking forward all of the recognition and citing that will come your way.
I saw quite a bit of Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, and I went, okay.
That ain't right.
So maybe Dre Greenlaw's on a pitch count, right?
Yes.
Maybe he's on a pitch count.
There was a weirdness to that.
Right. And he was maybe on a pitch count, and then his knee. So whatever. Maybe Dre Greenlaw's on a pitch count, sure.
Yeah.
D. Winters had the neck thing. You go, Devondre Campbell was not on the injury report.
Just
did not have an illness. And then I look down and I see him. He's got a towel over his head.
He was pouting.
He's got a towel over his head in like the late third quarter. Greenlaw sits down after he comes out and talks to him.
Yeah.
And Greenlaw's talking to him for a while. And then he gets up and walks around. And Greenlaw's standing up away from him. Just a little odd, given that Greenlaw has like a knee thing. And should probably be sitting. And then after the Rams take that go-ahead field goal, he just left. Towel on. They clearly the message gets relayed, and they're like, "Get him out of here!
Get him out of here!
Send him to the locker room." That's not great.
His stuff was in his locker after the game. His pants had not yet been laundered,
but he's gone.
He's gone. That's a bad way. This man was an All-Pro at one point, and that's how he's going to end his NFL career.
And I know, and it's wild because listen,
I've never seen him.
Like, he was actually playing decent football, like, the last few weeks.
His last two games were his two best
And so
games.
I bet that's part of it, right? He's like, you're really going to bench me over Greenlaw and Winters? Well, first of all, the whole plan was to bench you for Greenlaw. That was
also, did you see
outset.
Greenlaw's first half?
Greenlaw was playing truly the most Dre Greenlaw football of all time.
It was transcendent linebacking play. Him and Fred Warner looked like they – it was beautiful. It was. We didn't realize – We didn't realize, like, we knew that it was a great linebacking duo. I don't think I quite had the grasp on how special that 1-2 is. And, like, we can talk technically about how vital it is behind bad defensive ends and a wide nine system and all that. But, like, to see it in action for the first time in 9 months, you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, this is why this defense doesn't work.
That's right. It doesn't change the entirety of the 49ers season. They got problems a lot of places, but, man, it would have solved a lot of problems.
You look at the amount of times that Kyren Williams was about to break something and Greenlaw would get there.
Unbelievable.
That's what they were missing, is a linebacker filling, shedding a tackle, and playing with no regard for his well-being.
And then also, everyone else's run fits were just that much better. Talanoa Hufanga's run fits, which are typically impeccable, like, just even better. Jair Brown looked good behind those two. D. Winters looked good next to those two. You had Elliott and Anderson looking good in front of those two. And you're like, oh, what a competent defense they have. And Nick Sorensen's got to be like, you see, it's not my fault.
We just didn't have Dre Greenlaw. And you got to give Greenlaw.
Give him the contract now. I don't care. Give him whatever.
Do another
he wants.
One. Do a new 2-year, $16 million deal, whatever it is.
Special player.
Because they need him. And you saw Fred Warner when Greenlaw went out. He's like, all right, I have to do it myself. By the way, they were playing with one linebacker.
No, they were playing Gip and they were playing Hufanga at what his position should be, which is Sam linebacker.
Correct. Which is, by the way, the Rams are playing three safeties. They're playing one as a Sam linebacker anyway.
Yeah.
When
Tashaun Gibson came in and we're like, wait, what?
Right.
That was our red flag. Like, they're not taking – no one else is injured. They're just playing Gip.
Could you imagine if Mustafa had been out there tonight too?
Well, Mustafa might have gone – this sounds weird. Like, why am I naturally inclined to say that Mustafa would have taken care of Campbell for Kyle?
Oh,
why does it feel like that's something he would do?
He just would have handled it.
I got this, coach.
He is like wise beyond his years and also insanely yoked.
Yeah.
Where do you want to move to next with this thing?
Well, because the offense was complete butthole.
The offense did the thing that it's done all year long, where and I asked Kyle about man-to-man, and I said, you know, they threw a little bit of press man at you, and, you know, you guys have – it's been a challenge for you guys all year long. And he's like, well, they did about how much they usually do.
No, that is factually not true.
They threw a bunch of man-to-man at the 49ers, and as usual, the 49ers' only answer really is – without Christian McCaffrey, the 49ers' only real answer is George Kittle or an out route to Juwan Jennings.
That's right. The out route was barely there.
That route was barely there, and they continue to try and funnel the ball to Jennings. That's what they do, and that's a fundamental flaw that showed up today.
Yeah,
where Ricky Pearsall finally got a catch.
Well, it was unbelievable. They finally realized, hey, we need to spread out the offense. So, okay, first off, Kyle's lying. They run man 19% of the time. That's 28th in the NFL. They play zone 81% of the time. Did that look like 81% of the time zone to anybody out there? No.
And especially on key down.
Especially on third down, guaranteed. And they were overloading on one side consistently. And it was
a lot of five-man fronts.
So
a lot
many five-man fronts.
A lot of dropping.
The Rams invented the five-man front to stop the wide nine. They did it 5 years ago. And Kyle's answer to that question wasn't, okay, let's spread them out. Let's spread them out. They're going to play man-to-man. That's fine. Let's give our guys some space to work with. Let's do some pick routes. Let's do some drags. Let's run a basic man-to-man offense. Let's do that. No, Kyle's answer was, actually, let's take Juice off the field and put on Saubert so we have two blockers. So they have five men on the line. We're going to run outside zone with seven men on the line. That didn't work. And then he's like, what if we also put in a fullback? So now you have a lead blocker and seven. And that kind of worked for a minute. And then you had to pass it. And now you have Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel out there who can't separate worth a sumbitch against man-to-man. How can we be 14 weeks into the season, 15 weeks into the season, and you have not created – you've seen man-to-man every single flipping week. The one week you didn't get it, you looked like the 49ers. Every other week you've seen it.
Right.
The Rams – the idea that the Rams – would just go in and play soft zone, cover six, cover three, the way that they do against other teams. When in week three, we saw for a fact that they will play press man-to-man against you. The fact that Kyle had a game plan built for whatever they did against the Buffalo Bills is insulting. I get that it's a Thursday. I get that you don't have a lot of time to put new stuff
in. But you know the Rams as well as any team.
And it's 14 weeks in. How do you not have that ready to go? You've seen it in 12 games.
And if you're going to do the thing where you're trying to – because I get it. Guerrero, you want him outside the tackles. Like, that's what you want to do ideally. But the Rams are showing you a counter, right? And instead of having your own counter to the Rams expecting you're going to run outside zone, because it doesn't work in the stretch.
A couple plays, you adapt, you see what's happening, and then you hit them with the other thing, right? The same way that they got into the situation. Steve Spagnuolo shows up in the Super Bowl. They play some zone. The Niners go down the field with these. He says, fuck it, we're going man-to-man the rest of the way. He countered. Yeah. Kyle's counters are these little – I can't give up my entire game plan. Let's do a little tweak so I still feel like I have control. And then eventually they get it together, and guess what happens? Brock throws an interception on a cover six play because now they're entirely thinking it's going to be man-to-man every play. It's bad offensive coordination.
Yeah, and the 49ers trying to run all that stretch stuff, it doesn't work because you look at it every play, and either Banks or Brendel is getting blown up.
Banks was awful.
You can't – you're getting no push. You just don't have the dudes, right? And we can acknowledge at this point Aaron Banks having a very bad season.
Yes.
Jake Brendel's not having a good one.
No.
And you just don't have guys that are getting a lot of push. Dominic Pooney's had a bad second half of the season. He's had up and down.
Yeah.
He's been up and down, but he's also had, I wouldn't say bad. He's had inconsistencies in the second half.
We're starting to see some problems that didn't show up early.
Correct.
Because teams know if you can take him out, well, that's their best lineman. So you think if you can attack Pooney, you throw some double teams his way, now they can't run to that side, and they sure as not, no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to run left.
And going with like a big, beefy front to try and run the ball,
yeah.
If it works, right, and then you can set up some of the stuff for Debo. If that's what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
But like, that's not working. It's not working.
Jake.
Smart defenses have figured this out. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago for this entire season. It's been a fundamental
years
problem.
Ago. They figured it out years ago. They've just now committed to it. And by the way, it's not a new phenomenon. It doesn't just apply to the 49ers. We're seeing this exact same thing happening when the Houston Texans play. Oh, they're just getting burned left and right. Last year, CJ Stroud, greatest rookie quarterback of all time. We're going too high, press outside. Do something against it. They can't.
Are you frustrated with this?
No, I'm very frustrated about this. This is the first time I feel like a fan, like legitimately. I try to be analytical about this. I try to be emotionally removed about this. But that was such bad coaching and bad execution today in concert, and it was a waste of everyone's time. I wanted to pull a Devondre Campbell and walk out halfway
through. And you look at it and you go, all right, who can maybe have answers for this? It's your...
The answer was right there. They're playing a defensive tackle, an outside linebacker. Get man-to-man right. situations and win.
Right, and you had one. You had one with Kittle, and you got it.
Correct.
And they didn't attack it. They didn't do... And they adapted late, and then they...
Split him off the fucking line. Right. Oh, well, then we can't run the ball. You can't run the ball with him on the line.
Right.
You can't run the ball with two tight ends. Stop running the fucking ball. You have Isaac Arendo in the backfield. He's a great pass-catching receiver. I mean, great to stretch, but he is certainly the most qualified one that you have.
He can
have.
Do something with the ball after the catch.
They're press man-to-manning you. Again, they have a defensive tackle playing outside linebacker, okay? Why are you not putting him in pass routes, formations, everything? Why aren't you splitting him out wide? Why isn't there bump motion? Why are you doing nothing? Why aren't you using the McCaffrey playbook? Right, because the entire point of the McCaffrey playbook is we want you to play man-to-man.
Right.
Please, I beg of you. And McCaffrey's going to dink and dunk on 7-yard little slant and angle routes all day long. We're going to kill you, and Kittle's going to hit you up the seam when you take your eye off the ball. We're going to do that. And instead, they're like, no, we couldn't possibly, because I guess they had a game plan in for Patrick Taylor. I don't know what that was.
It's baffling, and it felt like they went into this game where, like, we're going to get Debo going, right? Like, it's 1999,
oh, that was obvious.
Right? Like, we're trying to get Debo going. Debo, by the way.
One tweet got him 7 touches in the first 10 minutes.
Right. It's like Debo needs to get the ball. And Debo, by the way, 2 carries for 3 yards and 3 catches for 16 yards, targeted 7 times.
Absolutely zero juice, embarrassing stuff. And then he gets one fucking target in the second half. And it should have been old Debo.
Should have been the only touchdown. And he just.
I mean, couldn't have dumped it more. He Ronnie Bell'd that thing.
And I do want to go to a point like from George Kittle, because there's a lot of the Debo talk and the criticism of him as a player and also him as a captain and the way he handled.
Well, at least he stood up and took responsibility for his stuff today.
Well, he
and he was fine. He went and said at the end of the day a bunch, but I'll take it.
Right. But what I mean is Kittle.
Yeah.
Kittle called him out.
Yeah, he did.
And Kittle admitted that at the end of the game. And I appreciate that because it's pretty rare, I think, for, you know, a player to openly say. And it was like a question of, does this matter in the locker room? Are they aware? They are. So Kittle goes, he's like, I don't know if I should share this with you. And then he shares it. And he goes, I told Debo, take this on the chin, take ownership of talking to the media.
Yeah.
Take ownership of whatever you'd said before. Sure. How you played tonight. Take ownership of it. Leave it in the past and move on. There's good games for Debo to come.
Captain C.
So it's like, it does matter. They were aware. Like, they were aware of Debo handling all this stuff pretty immaturely. And the fact that he's like, I want the ball. And then you ask for the ball and you get it and you choke. And that's just the reality.
He did what he's done all season long. There's no juice left. And he, listen.
Except on kick returns, apparently.
Except on kick returns. It was a nice kick return. But, He's playing his way out of town. And frankly, again, it's one of these things that's complete malpractice. I noted this in my column. It's up on the Merc. Campbell's pissed off and quits the team because he gets benched. It was malpractice that he was playing as much as he was. I'd be pissed too if I got to play like shit for 13 weeks, maybe 11 out of the 13 weeks.
Sounds about right.
I'm finally getting my groove back.
Yep.
Or I'm looking competent for the first time all year. And now you're like, actually, you're not going to play at all. We're going to play Demetrius Flanagan Fowles and D. Winters over. We're going to play
D. Well, they didn't want to play Demetrius Flanagan Fowles over.
Well, okay, but they're playing D. Winters over him in base, right? So he's the fourth linebacker on the depth chart at best. I'd be a little PO too. That doesn't mean I'm going to quit the team. It doesn't mean I'm not going to go in when I'm asked to go in. Easy for me to say, of course, I'm not putting my life or body on the line. The point is merely...
Well, now now you get into a situation, right, where the season's over.
Yeah.
It's over. And they know it. Like we don't have to even actually do the pretend thing anymore. It's over. It actually is. If you do the math, they lose tiebreakers against the Seahawks. They basically need the Seahawks to lose out. They lose a tiebreaker against the Rams. It's over. And so you go through that perspective. It's obviously done. And then Nick Bosa was the only one that sort of talked about, pointed to the reality that they're facing, where he's like, we're going to find out. Who actually wants to be here.
Yeah.
And the thing that you mentioned, I think, in previous weeks, and the importance of actually playing well down the stretch, is setting the tone for next year. Because there's a lot of young guys.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys who haven't been here. And when you get into this situation, it's pretty easy to just say, shut it down, whatever, and just go out pretty lame and sad, which would benefit their draft stock. And it's not a bad thing.
That is trivial, because this whole thing is right on a cliff's edge. You had a player quit mid-game. You could say what you want about, oh, it's one bad apple, this and that. That shit is unacceptable, and it reflects on Kyle Shanahan. By the way, not a lot of good things reflecting back on Kyle Shanahan right
Correct.
Now. His offense was ass. I just went in on it. I'm not doing it again. So the point is,
I don't disagree.
You have at least one mutineer on your team. He's gone now. You have a lot of guys out here. What do they got to play for? But I'll say this. Isaac Garendo talked to the media after the game, and good on him. I wasn't the spark that we needed. I need to be better. He's a rookie playing on a sprained foot, okay? And he wasn't. He wasn't what they needed. I don't think they put him in good situations.
No.
But he was.
I mean, he was getting mauled the second he hit the A-gap.
It is what it is. But, like, George Kittle has to tell Deebo Samuel how to handle the situation that he's in.
He's in what, year 7 now?
He has how many tens of millions of dollars, right? Like, that's laughable to me. You want to talk about Deebo being a captain on the team? These are the little insidious signs, and they all just sort of build up and build up and build up. And I do think that it's important to note that the last time this team was in this situation, okay, like an honest-to-God season's busted, no reason to play anymore, it was 2020. The entire world was collapsing around them. They Correct. Were in Arizona, and they were children comparatively to what they are now. The window for Super Bowl contention has shut. I don't think it's been painted shut, but it is shut, okay? They're going to have to create a new window next year.
And
that's
remember,
fine. They can do it, but they need to do that. And the idea that these final three games are meaningless, it's quite the opposite. The entire Shanahan program is going to be defined by these next three games.
I'm with you.
Because I'm not one of these guys who are
the Lions game. Ooh. As much as that's meaningless, Ooh. That's a team that bullied you on the ground, and you got lucky. You got lucky in the playoffs last year because you turned around and your offense was humming, and you got some fumbles, you got some turnovers, and it turned out great. They mauled the 49ers in the first half. They out-schemed them.
The Lions kind of choked that game away.
No question. And the Lions this year aren't going to do that. They're going to maul the 49ers. And it is the thing of duo, running duo and physical offensive line, the antithesis of what the 49ers have built, and attacking your linebackers on the ground.
This is what stands out to me. Kyle, the way that Kyle is framing it, right? So, like, I don't know what's going on with Devondre Campbell in his personal life. I don't know if his family's with him. Like, you want to provide some deference because we don't know this man. We know the football player, but we don't know the man. At the same time, Kyle's out here being like, that boy's soft. That grown man is soft. And that's the kind of shit that, in the past, doesn't fly. That's the kiss of death for a Shanahan team is you're soft, right? This is a team built around George Kittle, Deebo Samuel.
Physicality is when you ask them what gets them through and what makes a run game effective, it's physicality.
What makes this team effective is physicality. They're stronger, they're meaner, and when the weather gets bad, they play their best. This team is the opposite of that. Brock Purdy can't throw if the ball is wet. What's up with that?
That ball, let me just say, let's talk. I think we should talk about Brock for a second.
He was
so
bad today. What was that throw?
Yeah, Brock was bad. And that throw to Ricky Pearsall, where Ricky is, it's a touchdown throw. Like,
yes.
Like, Ricky, you look at the replay, there's a referee down the stripe, middle hash, right in the middle. It's very clear. Throw it right there. You got a clear aiming point. You throw it down the middle of the field. He throws it outside the left hash. Pearsall has to lean back and make a jump for it.
He didn't stand a chance.
He had no shot. And that should be a touchdown right there.
Right. It's one thing if Debo drops one that's right on the numbers.
And on the interception, he also had Pearsall in the flat, the same side of the field. Same side of the field where you go, all right, let me check this down. Saying, all right, we got to do everything. Meanwhile, it's a second and 10.
Second and 10, and you're pressing it thinking that you're going to get a free release on man, but it's not. It's cover six.
And honestly, I think one of the other criticisms is sort of a lack of realization of what your personnel is. I think that's a fair criticism of Kyle of not acknowledging that Debo is not really a real receiver. He's not. He's a zoned receiver,
right,
and he can run drag routes and digs. Fine. But what you should have, realistically, and I know I'm a Ricky Pearsall homer, whatever, pre-draft, but like Ricky Pearsall can play receiver.
Yeah.
He should be playing Z for the most part Debo, especially if you're getting man look.
You saw how they started to move the fucking ball in the air the second they made Ricky the number one, the X receiver. They shifted him to X, and now suddenly they can move the ball through the air because he can win in man-to-man. Juwan Jennings can't win in man-to-man. He is a zone receiver too. Now, sometimes his body is big enough that
Juwan can win in man-to-man in certain situations, but he's not winning big. He's winning in tight windows, and it's contested catches for the most part.
With
he can win on outs.
Ball, he ain't winning.
Right. And he shoves off, and he gets separation that way, but he's not, like, really snapping off. He doesn't have the athletic ability to do that. And, you know, they're running him on, was it like a stutter go, I think. The guy slipped, and he tried to throw it up to him. But it's like Jennings doesn't have the long speed for that.
And
like
our friend Woodpit says, oh, he can't see him. Well, Brock, if he can't see him, maybe we don't put one up. You know, maybe we have a better understanding of where the safety is going to be in that situation, and we don't put one up.
Especially when you're sort of driving the ball. It's a second and 10.
You're finally moving.
Take your check down.
You got four downs.
You got four downs because you're down by six.
Right.
Or you're down by three, I think, at that point.
You just need to
feel down by three.
They're a bad situational football team. They're not a physical football team. And you know what? You think about the teams that have been successful in this league time and time again. It is pretty straightforward. It's the more physical, sound, situational football teams. Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't have a lot going for them, but they kill it in situational football, and they're physical as hell on both offense and defense. They keep winning Super Bowls. The Patriots before them, the 49ers when they were at their most successful, they were bludgeoning teams. They'd go into Green Bay, didn't matter. They would go, bring the best of the NFC over here, and they'd bludgeon them. And now their offensive and their defensive lines don't have that kind of power. And I use the word power specifically. You think about the Lions, think about the Packers. Jeez, I mean, the Rams are not a good football team. The Rams are a team that you should be on par with physically.
And even then,
I think that the Rams I think the defensive line for the Rams was more powerful than certainly the Niners' offensive line today, but I think it was the most powerful of the four line units on the field today.
No question. They gave him a really hard time. Michael Hoyt, you know, and all those. Kobe Turner's a really physical guy.
So good.
I mean, these are good players, but at the same time, the 49ers,
in check,
the 49ers could run it kind of against anyone. And now they're at a point where the scheme has reached a point where it is not evolved past what defenses are doing.
It just feels stuck in between.
And if you don't have the guys to outpower someone,
right,
which they don't,
right,
you have to sort of reevaluate. And I think Kyle has done a pretty poor job of in-season reevaluation, and when something's not working mid-game, that's stuff we've criticized him for. This is like a real look at what your offense is, look at what you're trying to accomplish and what defenses are attacking you with.
Yeah.
And figure out, teams are going to keep throwing man-to-man at you forever at this point.
I mean, they might not even bother now.
But
I mean, here's the thing. I know the Lions will, because the Lions play more man than anybody else. So this plays right into their hands. That game has all the makings of a complete blowout. if it didn't before, I mean, I don't know what the line's going to come out at. It's here. I'd say it's going to be Lions 5.5. I'm pounding it. I'm just pounding it because I don't know what kind of heart this 49ers team has. And the fact that Nick Bosa was going out and saying, we're going to find out who wants to be a Niner, I think is really, really telling stuff.
I want to get to this comment because we do have a pessimistic nature. Oh, right? But in seasons past, we weren't like, oh, the 49ers are destined for doom. But like it was clear when things were working. This year, there were clear signs. It was clear at the start.
Yeah.
They didn't have the physicality to run the ball and that they weren't winning. The receivers weren't winning in man coverage. And so Brock, I think this gets to the core of it. Brock is an anticipation quarterback.
Mm.
He was criticized because he has a lack of elite arm talent, which is a fair criticism, but you can be an effective quarterback without that.
100%.
When you lose some of your weapons, when at the start of the year you're out of sync with your star X receiver, he's inconsistent,
and you
have that failing. When your offensive line is inconsistent, one, in setting the right protection, and when they do set the right protection, they can still have a bust or just get beat.
Yeah.
And then number two, beyond that, you have receivers who are not really beating man coverage with any consistency. So you have a lot of things where Brock is saying, I don't trust that this is there. And then sometimes when it is there, Brock is like, how can I trust that it's there? Or the receiver comes open
and a
pressure gets him to come off of it. There's just so many things that have worked against them that have been functional to who they are and how they've set this team up.
That could come off as if you're saying that Brock is a victim of circumstance. That is not the case.
No, he's part of this thing.
He's part of the problem, and in fact, he should be the one rising up above the problem. He's not smoothing over any of the 49ers issue, and you know, I think his arm looks the exact same.
I think his arm looks the same. I was asked this earlier on the radio. I don't see any difference with his arm.
Yeah. I see a quarterback who's tentative when he needs to. He's tentative in the pocket. He's tentative when it comes to just ripping it to his receivers. He's tentative. He looks like a rookie.
Here's the thing about when Brock came in, the offense was like humming. So he comes in and he's like a perfect fit and everything is sort of working around.
Just they're a pass first point guard.
Next, they have the best offense ever going into the season. He rehabs, whatever, but everyone's healthy. They had an incredibly healthy year last year. It's all work.
That's right.
Then you go into this where there's all these protracted contract talks. There's no real training camp. They haven't practiced together.
I
think the number one thing with being an anticipation quarterback who relies on all this timing is the timing, is knowing this guy is going to be here when I take a three-step drop. This guy's going to be here at this point. This guy's going to be here then.
And you see the best of Brock. There was an out route to Jennings early in the game, and he throws it before Jennings comes out of his break. And it's a beautiful, like, 14, 15-yard
connection.
But you
need to have developed that.
Correct. And so when you have an offensive line that doesn't allow you to feel like you have your timing, when you have receivers that can't separate man-to-man and yet you only face man-to-man, then you can't trust it. There's just not a lot of trust in this offense. And now you have an anticipation quarterback who doesn't trust his timing and a head coach and play caller who is all about the script who can't adjust to the reality of the situation. That's a bad combo because say what you will about the rest of, you know, we can go on about the defensive tackle situation or the running back situation. Like, we can go on every position. We can point out the positives and mostly the negatives. This is a head coach and a quarterback league. Those are the two most important people, and it's not even particularly close. Those two are more important than the GM. They're more important than all of your wide receivers combined, all of your running back. It's more important. Like, it is everything. The next most important player might be a left tackle. The difference and gulf between head coach, quarterback, and the next guy, be that left tackle, defense coordinator, whatever, is a chasm. It's massive. And this year, both Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy have had down and years that should provide a healthy level of skepticism about if they can get back to the heights that they were at last year. And I don't think it has anything to do with the salary cap or – it has to do with injuries.
Yeah.
But like the idea of, you can't pay Brock because then you won't be able to have as good of players around him. That's bullshit. Right. You were playing here today. That's bullshit.
They've whiffed on a lot of the guys they've actually paid money to. So maybe it's better that they get tight.
The reason you can't give Brock $60 million if you believe that is because you don't think that he's a good enough quarterback to overcome simple basic, routine, consistent slights, right? You don't think he's good enough to make Kyle better. You don't think that Kyle can make him better, that that relationship feels like it's already reached its apex and they haven't even gotten into paying him yet. And again, we're 1 year in, right? So I've been saying this week, and I believe this still, that Debo Samuel, much like Kyle Shanahan, has enough cachet in tow that he deserves another year. Now, I'm not saying they'll give it to him, but at least I can justify another year.
If that's what they do.
To prove that, hey, that was a one-year blip.
They're also...
I don't think they will.
Salary-wise, they can go either way. They can save a little bit without him, and they're kind of... they have a decent amount if they do keep him.
But my point is merely, okay, so I'm saying, like, those two guys I view in the same boat, right? Like, they have the history. They've been terribly successful. I can't really explain Kyle's reason for being now not good offensive coordinator other than he doesn't have good players. And it's like, well, you should probably be able to elevate somebody. Find somebody. Like, what's been the revelation?
It has felt extremely stagnant.
Right. And with Debo, like, okay, hey, you got pneumonia halfway through the season. That sucks. You know, you're getting press man to man. That's not good for you. Like, that, we knew that coming in, that's not going to be a good thing for you. All of these things. It goes the other way, too. Right? With Debo Samuel, I think we're all in agreement. I think the 49ers are going to do this. They're going to cut him at the end of the year. That he has played so poorly this season that they're going to cut him. I'm not saying they need to cut Kyle, but I'm saying we can have an adult conversation about his future with this program a year from now. You get that cachet, you get the opportunity, but you can lose it just as fast. Debo Samuel was a must have player going into this. I know that they considered trading him. They asked for a song and they didn't get it. So they didn't trade him because they're like, fucking Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
The same thing can be true of Kyle Shanahan.
I also do think getting rid of Debo, there is sort of a cathartic process to that where you stop leaning on those plays that defenses. When Debo's out there, they know Debo is going to run a tunnel screen. If he's in the backfield, he's going to get the ball.
Yeah.
Because that's what always happens. Or he's going to run two routes that you have to be mildly concerned about, where your linebackers look and see if he's coming across the field. He's running a dig. And if he's running anything else, who cares? Because you're probably going to be fine unless you're running a zone and you've got to worry about that.
I mean, they're in a situation where they just need to stop playing him because it's hurting everybody else. Like, it's one thing, okay, Debo's on the field. They're going to play man-to-man against him. Okay, that's one thing. But that hurts Jennings, right? And that hurts Brock. And that puts Kyle in a disadvantageous situation to call plays. You'll probably get zone looks if you take him off the field. Why are they so committed to putting him out there? What trade value? This isn't Jonathan Kuminga.
Right,
they're not trying to build up his trade value.
It should be Jennings and it should be Pearsall. Because one is an actual receiver who is supposed to be sort of your extra place, who at least has the talent and the athletic measurables where he could ideally replicate what Brandon Ayuk is. Now, he's not
Pearsall.
He's clearly not at that level yet. He clearly has a lot of things he doesn't know. And one thing I'll give Debo credit for is I've seen him adjust people and getting them adjusted.
He knows the plays.
Right.
Except for the one where he ran into Isaac Arendo on a motion.
Right, because he was too slow. Whatever. And then Jennings, you put him back at, you know, on the other side, it doesn't really matter where you put him.
Ideally, this offense has an X receiver that can win one-on-one in man coverage and can push down the field, right? This is why, you know, Brandon Ayuk, it's a wide receiver bubble. I still think it wasn't the best contract, but you can at least justify Brandon Ayuk is like the ideal X receiver for this team because he can do his work 15, 20 yards down the field, forces a safety to come over and help. That now lifts the lid off the defense while also still being a threat, unlike a Marquise Goodwin, who is just running a nine route,
right?
And just take it off. Just keep running.
Hey, just go, Marquise.
So you have this X receiver that can do that. And now you have Debo running his drags, right? So even if you're in man-to-man, you have space to work and you can run some picks and stuff. You have Jennings as just the perfect flanker possession receiver, right? And you are able to keep him off the line. So now he can get not a free release, but at least some cushioned release. And you're oftentimes, sometimes you get a nice matchup, and now you're getting them against base, or sometimes you're getting them against nickel. You want a nickel guarding Juwan Jennings? Hell no. He's going to box him out.
Right.
And now you get George Kittle in a situation where you can motion him in the backfield, because you're certainly going to have a linebacker on him. And you can't now dictate the personnel on the field based on what you think the other team is going to do, right? You have to play.
They should use Debo as juice.
I mean, because he doesn't block. By the way, juice, we got to be honest about this. He's not giving you anything, right? That's lost.
So he had one fill today, and that was it's. They are going
to
have to.
I'm pretty sure you don't have to pay $5 million for a guy who blocks once or twice.
They are going to really have to reevaluate every single player.
When you move Jennings to X, the entire offense, not to overstate it, but like now you don't have that safety coming over and helping ever. Now you don't have to worry about it. Now all the offense is compressed deep in the field. Now Debo's playing in man-to-man, but it's in this. It's all jumbled up, so he ain't separating unless they're really just laying off of him. And now Pearsall is doing what? He's the flanker.
That's not
his job. I guess I get why Kyle said, okay, Jennings is the X, because he did have that great game against the cover six team, which is the complete opposite. Like. It's not this hard. It doesn't have to. I really honestly mean this. I'm not in any way implying that I know more about football than Kyle Shanahan. He knows a million times more than me, you, no anybody question. Else. It doesn't have to be this hard. They're not playing ball anymore.
No.
This is some sort of academic exercise where Kyle ends up with his fist entirely up his asshole. How did you do that? You were just supposed to throw a football.
It's very taxing to watch. And it feels like a commitment to this old way of doing things and just personnel that doesn't work for the spot that they're put in.
Right.
Because the league, it started last year where defenses, and you looked at the Ravens game, and that was the prime example of defenses starting to move past where offenses were going and defenses dictating the terms. And the 49ers sort of trusted that the way their offense worked last year, they'd have McCaffrey and they sort of built it. Like, we're just going to do the same thing. And it just didn't. It didn't work, and they didn't really try anything different.
Defenses have, and we talked about this, and I do want to get more into it as the season goes, because what else are we going to fucking talk about?
That's right.
But, like, defenses have figured out that movement is not something to do in vain, right? Like, it's so laughable now. But, like, 3 or 4 years ago, motion before a play was, oh, what a revolution. What a concept.
It was still that way to the Philadelphia Eagles last year who
right.
Just no.
But like that is now commonplace. It's like when the Warriors were shooting threes and everyone's like, "You can do that?" And now maybe we've overdone it. That's neither here nor there. The point is only defenses have figured out, okay, they want to move. We can mix it up too. We can force you to second guess what you're doing just as much as you can make us second guess what we're doing.
Also, I will say, if there has ever been a time to go into the lab and say, I'm going to go into a weird, dark place.
Do it.
The season's over.
Right.
Right. It doesn't matter what we do.
Right.
But, you know, whoever's still around, you get a little bit of rest. They're going to come back and say, all right, we got a trip to Miami. That's fun. Let's go out. Let's beat our old friend Mike McDaniel. Let's knock the Dolphins down, even though it's actually really, really good for your draft position if you lose to the Dolphins.
Well, I think they're going to lose to the Dolphins because the Dolphins are like a better team than them.
I agree. I agree. I'm just saying, if there's any time to go in and say, all right, what should we try? Like open door policy
totally.
To everyone in the offense. What is not working for us?
I'll start.
What should we try?
I'll start. Play Pearsall at X. Play Cowing at X. Give me somebody who can push on a deep post and get double coverage. And honestly, I just want to see someone running a 25-yard post on every play. And if the safety comes, you throw it underneath. And if it doesn't, throw it to the X receiver. It doesn't have to be this hard. You did it all last year with Brandon Ayuk. And then you're like, what if we took the opposite of Brandon Ayuk and put him in that spot? Right? Here's an idea. When you're getting consistent man-to-man defense, and I don't know if Miami will do that or not because their defense is a mess. Like the Rams are at least like Shula's a great coordinator. He's trying stuff.
He's got trying kids, stuff. It's not always working.
He's getting weird. He's getting weird. Like he could be a head coach somewhere, not in the not too distant future.
Right.
Like he's got a lot of McDonald in him. I liked a lot of what I saw.
Super fun.
But like, here's an idea. If you're going to see a bunch of man to man, maybe you line up Isaac Arendo once as a flanker or out wide.
He's got the speed to at least challenge defenses.
Run a nine route with your running back, who's the fastest, strongest person on any field he's on outside of the one game he plays with the Seahawks.
I think the 49ers' MO should just be, all right, how? What's the weirdest stuff we can do to answer man-to-man? Let's just try stuff that we have not tried.
And then we'll have it in our bag.
And that way we know, all right, this was an answer to this thing. It's actually a perfect scenario for a team that the 49ers are in. Because most of what you have is sticking around.
Yeah.
Your offensive line is going to change. But most of what you have is sticking around. Will and you know? Can say, what can we try? Like what different weird rub routes can we do out of weird formations?
How many times can this team get called for offensive pass interference in the final 3
What's
weeks?
What's a weird motion we haven't tried before?
Correct. Can we get it to the point? So there was something, was it you who showed me this not that long ago? With Juice just blatantly committing a penalty?
Last week, Juice was just basically running straight up the field before a snap. He turned sideways right before the snap, and I think he might have just timed it. But it looked like he's basically just like going up the field. How much of that can you get away with?
Correct. Like, by the way, it should also be noted that this same thing can apply to defense. This same thing can apply to special teams. Schneider's not getting another year here. I would put something really cool on tape, and maybe it works. What's Kyle going to do?
Yeah.
Fire you? You're getting fired either way.
I know.
What's Nick Sorensen going to do? Lose his job? He's losing his job.
They should absolutely be experimenting with special teams. No 100%. Question. I mean, just...
You know what? Okay, here we go. You ready for this? There's a lot of stuff I'd like to see. There's one thing above all I'd like to see.
Oh, this is a good idea.
There we go.
I like where your head's at. This is what we're talking about.
Thank you, ABC 123. Here's all I want to see. I want to see Kyle Shanahan fake a fucking punt. Once.
Do you think he... What would it take?
Maybe a bribe.
Because I remember a few years ago they said, "Oh, we did have a look." And
I know exactly what game you were talking about. That's bullshit. The only time they've ever faked a punt was when Mitch Nowski decided on his own to just start running. He went full Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
one fake punt. One. All I'm asking for.
That's an awesome one.
If you can't do that right now with 3 games left and nothing to play for,
also. Also, I know we've talked about Pearsall, but like put him and Cowan out there and just start feeding them.
Correct.
Just get them some confidence. Just get them going in a way where you say, all right, last few games
go to a calendar, flip it to June 1st, and tell Debo Samuel that's the day.
Say, hey, Debo,
thank
you're gonna
you.
Take
you're
the
gonna
last
be a
month
full-time
off.
Podcaster for the rest of the month.
You can hang around next year, whatever, we'll keep you. But we're gonna try and get these rookies going.
Right. By the way, like I've heard this now suggested a bunch of times that Kyle should hand off play calling to Clay Kubiak the rest of the season. No, don't do that. Because Clay Kubiak's not going to call plays next season. All you're doing is, if Clay Kubiak's any good, setting him up to lose him.
I do think it would be an interesting thought for Kyle to go up in the booth for a half.
To go full to go, should we to get the bed? Yeah,
to go for a half or a quarter in the booth and just say, let's see what's going on up here. What am I missing about when teams play man?
Steve Wilkes was right. I can't believe it. This is incredible up here. I want to see some caution being thrown to the wind.
Yeah. Let it loose. You're a senior. You've gotten into college. You have locked up a C grade for the semester. You're at like an 87 right now.
Yeah.
You know if your grade drops to a 75.
You don't have to study for the final.
You've done enough work that you know you're good. So
you're in Harpos all night, baby.
You got 3 weeks to coast. You're just a senior. You're chilling. Do some fun. Throw a senior prank.
Yeah.
Throw a fake punt.
Get
Do
chlamydia,
some fun.
You know?
Well, I don't know about all that.
Okay. Just saying.
But, you know, try something. Maybe not that.
Yeah.
But try something, folks. Do you have anything else
to
add?
Throwing in on Fat Girl. Who's to say? You know?
All right.
Get weird with it.
Definitely get weird with it. Definitely
get weird with it. Where is the experimentation? Where is the willingness to embarrass oneself? I don't see it. I see a lot of holding tight, not trying to give up the boat. It's already gone.
And on defense.
You lost.
On defense, say, hey, Sorensen, we're probably going to get rid of you, but you got 3 weeks to try some stuff. To try some stuff and free reign. I'm going to back out of the defensive meetings. I'm going to go in blind. I can't wait because it doesn't matter. Yep. That's how they should approach this.
Right.
I mean that earnestly. What is the weirdest, most interesting thing they can do, not just for nothing, but to evolve the scheme and see what their personnel is capable of?
Go full five wide with Brock. Turn them into the go Cliff Kingsbury on this thing.
Go
the option. Yeah. I don't know.
Go from full spread to wing T and back to back.
Correct.
Plays. Correct. Get 3-point stances from your running backs.
Like legitimately, do something that will make you laugh.
Yes,
Kyle.
What's the point?
Kyle's
exhausted.
Kyle has never had fun in his job. I feel bad for him in that way. There's some sort of like curse that his dad put on him where he has to prove, like, I don't know what was going on at dinner.
They should genuinely throw a monumental holiday party.
Oh.
And just have a whiteboard. Have a whiteboard and say, what's
a weird thing
you
can do?
Suggestion box. Everyone goes, you get some drunk suggestions. And I know this sounds insane, but realistically, you got nothing to play for. So play for fun. Play for something. Like, it's at the end of the day, a game. And you're trying to make money, so go do some weird, fun stuff.
Kyle through the defense. I'll turn off the CCTV. Every now and again, you forget that Kyle has
the ability to watch everything in every meeting.
Fucking Gestapo.
Because your eyes can't be everywhere. So
Tony Wilson, Debo's only 28 years old. He's played 6 NFL seasons. He's still young.
He has taken a ton of wear and tear.
Yeah, they call
like a running back, which 6 seasons is a lot.
Yeah, find me the 28-year-old running backs. No, legitimately.
Well, this is the year of the 28-year-old running back.
This is
by
it.
By the way.
Yeah, I mean, this is the exception that proves the rule.
Every other year, it's been falling off.
I'll also note, you know, NFL, not for long, right? The dude played crash test dummy for years.
Taking shots.
And he's a legend for that.
No
I'm
question.
Glad he changed his I've number. Said it before. I'll always Debo, remember number 19 Debo.
Saying. I said it before. Debo in 2021 was like the greatest season I've ever witnessed in person. It was... No one was more fun to watch than Debo Samuel, but he's not that same player. Defenses have caught up, and the 49ers haven't adapted to really. Yes.
They need to have some fun.
It's a great point.
They need to have some fun.
Andy Reid's wearing Hawaiian shirts, doing stupid ads, saying, all right, let's do some weird motion and some shovel passes in the red zone.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm not even going to call a play for my quarterback and my tight end.
Right.
I'm just going to say, do whatever you want. You throw to him, it doesn't matter how. Buy enough time.
I mean, like, I really honestly mean this. Like, Bill Belichick's now the head coach of North Carolina. Like, is that what Kyle wants to be down the line? Have some fun.
Yeah.
Have some fun. I don't know what Kyle's like at home. It has nothing to do with any of this. But, like, this has to be exhausting. I know that there's a lot of times gig.
How many more gray hairs he's got. It's tough.
Just watching this team, I'm getting gray hairs. Imagine coaching them. Like, and now you just had to quit. Like, I can't fucking do this anymore.
To be fair, I do think that's something that you cut him, you fine him for conduct detrimental to the team, whatever. You cut him.
They're and not you giving go, him his paycheck today.
And you go, all right, guys, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
you go at the holiday party. Not immediately. You go stern. You go, this is unacceptable. This is not the standard.
This
you go
is not
out,
what we do.
You play a competitive game and you lose. Against the Dolphins, but you have fun. You throw a holiday party. You know you're going to lose to the Lions
in Miami.
Yes, genuinely, you get Lil Wayne back on stage like you did after you lost the Super Bowl.
The night of that game,
you fly back late. You fly back.
You fly back late
because you got an extra day. You got an extra day before the Lions game. You throw a holiday party and you say,
throw a holiday party in Miami on that Sunday night. Crutches involved.
Competitive loss, and you know you invite McDaniel. The whole squad, they've just won. They're going to be feeling good. And you say, all right.
Get the whiteboard out.
Mike's going to give you suggestions.
That's right. Mike can't drink, but he'll still be cool about it.
Right. And you just say, all right, what should we do for the last two games? Let's throw the Lions something insane.
Right.
Let's pray a play a prank on the Detroit Lions. Maybe that'll derail their season.
Kind of what the Rams did to the Niners today.
I'm telling you.
They're like, oh, you think we're going to play? Like, oh my God.
You got anything else? What we got any other questions here?
No, we're not going to do another stream until Tuesday.
Yeah, I think we're gonna take a sec. We're gonna have our own.
We're gonna get the whiteboard out.
We will get the whiteboard out. I think we might look at I don't know. We might look at some players.
We'll do some players. I think
any requests. I think we're thinking about Dre Greenlaw, maybe Hufanga, maybe Yetur Gross-Matos.
It almost feels like we should get some CCTV of Campbell's exit and do play by play again.
There was some posted.
Yeah,
there was some posted.
I mean, maybe we come up with like the three things the Niners should do in the final week, something to that effect. Now we're just brainstorming in public.
Yeah. Well, if you folks have any, not even a player, anything you want,
anything
us
you want
to
in
cover,
the comments section,
because
of this
is
video.
The time to have.
And if you've made it again, this far and you put a comment of something you want, we're going to give it to you.
Again, it's
we are monkeys dancing.
It's winter break. It's winter break. We're all on winter break early because the Niners ended their season.
Yeah.
Early. Honestly, not early enough, but.
Well, yeah, like I don't think I'm going to be back here until the Lions game.
I don't know if I'll be back for the Lions game, quite frankly. We'll see. We'll find out, folks.
Like, but legitimately, like, why would I come on Wednesday?
Questions, comments, dumb ideas.
Dumb ideas. We're
really
big fans.
Maybe that's the episode. Dumb ideas for
the 49ers ideas
to fix their
playing this season.
Yeah.
Putting Christian McCaffrey on IR for 8 weeks.
I love it.
They really galaxy brain this season, and that's working out
respect.
Great. By the way, still haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
That's right. Not at the time of the game.
All right. Subscribe and like if you're so inclined. You don't have to. But, you know.
Yeah. Yell into the void. Tell us how you feel about us or don't. Either way, we appreciate you.
You're going to do it either way, so you might as well throw That's us right. a bone in the process. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you, sickos.
Oh, no. Sorry, Rob. No. Rob, you are on fire tonight. Just don't know. Rob, we have a weekend free.
That's for next week.
Please watch Kirk Cousins and then come
That's
back
next
week.
Week
and you can That's we can try week. This again. All
Appreciate
right, everybody.
You,
we'll talk to you before Christmas. Bye.
Sounds good.